that right now. The verse, many are called. Watch this. They made light of it. They went their ways. That's one of the most dangerous things that's happening in this very room tonight. Many of you in this room are going your way, ignoring the clear call of God on your life and the direction of God. They made light of it. They went their way. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way. There is a way that seems right. It seems right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And observe what they were doing. One to his farm. Another to his merchandise. Hadn't got time for God. Got to make another buck. Caught up in the things of daily living. When I get my business on its feet, now look, I'm going to bite the bullet and work like a dog and get my business going. It'll take me 5 years. I'm going to dedicate 5 years of my life right to that business, and then I'll walk with God. Then I'll tithe. Then I'll go to church. Then I'll witness. But right now, 5 years, thou fool, you may die tonight. What will happen to your business then? You don't know that you've got 5 years to get your business in order. We see that the sin of these people is not enough time for God, only time for business, my daily living, doing what I want to do. I want you to understand, when the king calls, there is no excuse. When the king calls, there is no business excuse. Verse 6, and the remnant, others, took his servants, treated them shamefully, and slew them. Now here we see this part of the parable very similar up till now. It's been very similar to the parable of the vineyard. If there's really a God, if he's really real, and if he's really fair, and if he's really got power, why didn't he come do something about the wicked? Let me tell you, to even think that is wicked, and you better be glad he hadn't come and done something about your wickedness for thinking that. Hallelujah. Are you glad he's more loving and patient than that? But you see, the problem with the fallen nature is that when the king doesn't act immediately, we begin to think, well, he isn't there. He hadn't got any power. God's dead. But this parable shows us the danger of falling into that. You see, they misunderstood in both parables the patience and graciousness of the vineyard owner and the king. They thought they could get by with this forever, that there was no moment of reckoning. The king is also righteous and just, and he is determined to honor and heap honor upon his son and his son's bride at a wedding supper. And nothing but nothing is going to deter this king. Verse 7, but when the king heard of this, they had slain his messengers. Oh, you've touched the delegated authority now. Whew, that'll make some of you just shake in your boots that you're still alive from the delegated authorities you've touched. Whew, this is a good night for repentance, I tell you. He was angry, sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Now you see, in the last parable, they had slain the heir, drug him outside the city, and killed him. So what's going to happen to them? They said the king should destroy them. Jesus in this parable says, and that's just what's going to happen. He just told them what was about to happen to them. He's already admitted in the parable before that he, the son, the heir, is going to die. But now he says, but the king's going to send his army to destroy you. And historically, what happened at that time, of course, was that God still gave this bunch 40 years to repent. But in 70 AD, Titus, the Roman general, led his armies in, and about 1.5 million people were slain in the Jerusalem area during that time. They had slain God's delegated authorities all through the book of Acts, all leading up to Acts, and there was no remedy. The king sent his army. You wouldn't have recognized it as being the king's army. You'd have thought it was Caesar's army. But God shows he pulls the strings behind Caesar's decisions also. For here, 40 years ahead of time, it was prophesied that the king's army would come and destroy these wicked people and burn their city. And their city is the city of Jerusalem. And it was so done. Verse 8. So it's a double reference. I want you to understand this is a double reference prophecy. It had to do at that time with Titus, but it's coming again. And Titus, shall I say, was a sneak preview of coming attractions. If you think that one was bad, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till the Great Tribulation when this happens again. Verse 8. Then said he, the king, to his servants, the wedding is ready. Now I want you to hear that. That's so important. We've seen in the parable that the king has been rejected. The people will not come to the son, to the banquet to honor the son. Nevertheless, look at this. He says the wedding is ready. The wedding supper is ready. I want you to understand that at the time Jesus was here, it was ready. When he rode in, had they accepted him, had they repented and accepted him, God would have quickly initiated, in short notice, the kingdom. Oh, Jesus would still have had to have died. Because he has to die for the sins of the world. But he says the wedding is ready. The wedding supper is ready. We're ready. We could do it. But observe what happens. But they that were bidden were not worthy. They weren't worthy. Go therefore into the highways. Now here's the message for what's been the message ever since that time. Since the king was rejected, what are our instructions? What are we going to do about this? Go therefore. Now if you're a servant of this king, here are the instructions. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you find. See, this is another way of saying whosoever. As you're going out there, as many as you find, bid to the marriage. Now, I want you to see, the emphasis just changed. See, back in verse 3, they went first to those that were bidden to the wedding first, which is basically the Jewish nation. To the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. But now, suddenly, we get a change in emphasis. Now, please understand, Gentiles were saved all in the Old Testament too. Gentiles have always been saved. No, what's changing is the emphasis. In the Old Testament, the emphasis up until this minute has been that the Jew will be the evangelist. That God shows up to Abraham, makes a Jew out of him, tells him what he's like, reveals himself to him, and that basically, in the Old Covenant, the Jew carried the gospel message around the world to the Gentile and to other Jews. But beginning now with the rejection of the Messiah by the Jewish nation, the change that takes place is not that Jews can't get saved, but rather that the emphasis on who's going to carry the message shifts. Which is exactly what Jesus said in the parable before. In the parable before, he says, I'm going to take the kingdom from you and give it to a people that will bring forth fruit. So now we see a change in emphasis. So shall I say this about verse 9? We're seeing the gospel is for everyone, not just the Jew. It says anybody you can find out there, any swinger out there. And then look what he says in verse 10. So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. Now remember, we're going to honor the king's son. And the invitation to come is for anyone. You're in here tonight? You've had 4 abortions. That means you've murdered 4 children. We bid you come to the wedding. It's not too late. You can still repent.